5 minutes. He provides that size. Hopefully he gets some boards. He, you know, obviously that immovable object, as they say. But at this point, they need one of those young guys they get in the draft to kind of replace what his role would be, just because Jeng's smaller and same at Payne.
Real quick, is it even a possibility to buy out Peck? Is it even reasonable to even think about? Yeah, the idea.
Yeah,
that's
thanks,
exactly
KG.
What I thought.
Yeah, he's looking out for us.
I would say this. Here's the deal with Garnett coming back. There's no question. Those two had a long sit down, and probably over the last couple of years, to be honest, he and Flip, knowing that sooner or later he would try and get him back here. Well, it worked out this time, and it worked out for all the right reasons. They have a really young team that needs help on the court from a veteran, savvy player, someone that Flip could trust and knows already very well. And of course, and he is loyal to his former players that have played for him. He offered Chauncey Billups, apparently, the head coaching position, even with three other guys on the bench already that I guess could qualify.
Who's next, Stephon Marbury?
Oh, no. He's in China.
No, he's in China. He's so happy playing for the Ducks there.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
He's a bastard.
But Kevin Garnett's here for a reason. He wasn't going to wear him out at the end of the season. Why would you do that to an old body already? Get him back in great shape, fresh, without any ankle issues or whatever the case, and let him take those 18, 20 minutes next year. Not every night, but...
No, the other thing, too, is that to Wiggins, he's a peer in some sense. I know he's a veteran. I know he's revered here. But at the end of the day, he wears the same jersey, same logo that Wiggins does. And I think that's meaningful. I think it was meaningful for Flip to come down and coach these guys and do it firsthand. Because what you do is then anyone under you, as an owner, as president of basketball operations, is you say, hey, I've coached these guys. I know they're good. And you're not doing your job if you're not getting the most out of them.
Right.
And I think that there's something about that, that they're kind of getting their hands dirty. And like I said, I mean, if you expected Kevin Garnett to be 22-year-old Kevin Garnett, he's just not anymore. And I go back to that press conference. I think some people felt they got a little too high, a little too hyped up, because at that moment, he seemed ageless. He was just glowing. He was radiant. What I said is, the point I was trying to make with the handshake is he didn't just take in all this kind of praise. He kind of reflected it back, and it's, hey, I'm happy to be back with you guys. And really, like I said, that first game, it reminded me of being a young Timberwolves fan where I went to the arena. You see KG's name come up, how much excitement there was. And again, you have to realize that's just not where he's at right now. And I think, to me, it was bringing him back to more fanfare than if you brought him back as an owner. Owners just aren't treated the same way because they're not a player, because they're usually not young like Kevin Garnett, and you're not going to see him play that night. Obviously, Glenn Taylor's not taking the court as close as he is to it. So I think that's, I think this is just a way to celebrate Kevin Garnett as a guy and for him to make his case that, hey, this is my home. I want to help the Timberwolves, much like Torrey Hunter's been saying with the Minnesota Twins, where he said, we asked him before the Royal Series, you could have gone to Kansas City. He goes, well, that's not my home. I want to help the Minnesota Twins. So I think that has to be meaningful for diehard fans of these franchises.
I think you're a little pie in the sky just a little bit, because it's all about selling tickets for both of these franchises, for the Twins and for the Timberwolves. Both marketing ploys.
I think that's true, and I think I started with a quote about that. I think here's the thing is, how much is, four games worth of a sellout? At a certain point, you need to have something sustainable so that you have a good season ticket holder base. I don't know how many people renewed their season tickets just to, see KG at age 39, right? What I said about that game is you come for KG, you leave with Wiggins, and hopefully Wiggins is the guy who sells those season tickets. But as much as what really matters to these franchises is season ticket holders.
I think it's really a unique situation where you bring Kevin Garnett back, your most celebrated old player that's ever played here, at least for this team, and combining that with the new guy, Andrew Wiggins. There's something about that is unique for the fans and the season ticket holders that would maybe even make that happen, where it would generate some more season ticket holders to see this sort of play out, no matter how much Kevin Garnett gets out there. It is him and Andrew Wiggins. And they were, yeah. He was a celebrated MVP player here in this town. And I think it does mean an awful lot to the people here, and how much we'll find out, I think, next year, not so much this time around.
What he can help Wiggins out about is Wiggins, remember KG really kind of exploded. I felt like at 22, that's when the contract and the money came up, and just people realized, like, this guy's the real deal. I think with Wiggins, I think he can sit down and say, hey, I've been there before, and I know how this market reacts, and I know what you need to say, and I know what you need to do. And keep in mind, Wiggins kind of executed this flawlessly. He played all 82 games. He played hard every game. The only kind of situation he didn't rise to was in Toronto. I felt like he got into foul trouble early. But outside of that, when, you know, you had Harden, LeBron, and all these guys, he kind of went toe-to-toe with them and really stepped out the popcorn player, as Flip likes to call him. And you have to realize that's not going to be every season. He may get hurt. He may have off games. And that's where I think Kevin Garnett can help him. And I think that's where, if you're going to get season tickets or purchase games or kind of buy into the Wolves, if you will, it's that KG is there to kind of look out for Wiggins.
Just wait until they get the number one overall draft pick in the NBA draft lottery coming up here in just a little over a month. Booyah. Talking to Tom Schreier, Cold Omaha, 105theticket.com. I said booyah because I'm in your face.
Well, I mean, I like it too. Like a Stuart Scott reference too, so I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Tom Schreier, 105theticket.com, Cold Omaha writing team. What's coming up? We have 30 seconds. What's coming up Sunday morning, 8 to 10 on the wake-up call with you guys?
Yeah, we got a blues guy, a wild guy.
Like a guitar blues guy?
That'd be awesome. Yeah, just play some in-house music. Not a bad call, actually. No, St. Louis Blues, we'll get a wild guy on there. We'll have tons of fun content. Obviously, a lot to talk about just with how much we've been writing on the site.
Awesome.
It's going to be fun to watch over the weekend when they scrum down again yet tomorrow night against the Blues in St. Louis. Next up, we have Elizabeth Meineke. Our blues lady. And she's singing the blues right now herself down there as they lose.
I talked a little smack to her, by the way, via email to make sure that she could come on today. And she goes, thank you for having me on. It's so much fun. You guys, we just joke around. We have fun. But, oh, boy, is she in for
it. Well, we're not joking. That's the thing.
No, well, she thinks we are.
The joke is really kind of on her.
And that's because
she thinks we're joking.
We're from Minnesota, and we know how to work that game. We know how to play the passive-aggressive game. She's from Missouri. She doesn't really get it. It's the show-me state. You have to show them. Show me. You know the show.
Well, of course, I went to school there. And I played in Kansas City. I played in St. Louis. But
she doesn't get it.
I think it's good enough to show them 4-2, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
4-2.
Yeah.
That's show me stuff right
and
there.
And you're going to love it when I ask her the question. Hey, remember when you scored that that one goal? And then you scored another goal, but that's all you scored. That was cute. Remember that? That was cute.
It was precious.
That was really cute.
We'll talk with Elizabeth Meineke next on the what is this?
This is Radioactive Sports on 105 The Ticket.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
The world's fastest half mile. The Food City 500 from Bristol Motor Speedway. Tune in for live coverage Sunday morning at 11.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I got a whole ton of confidence in how these guys play in front of me, and that allowed me to just go in there and, again, know exactly what I was going to be presented with and be able to relax, and that's exactly what happened.
That was Devin Dubnyk saying how easy it was to stand in front of 19 goals and letting the other ones come through to keep them in the game so that their fans would buy tickets for the game tomorrow night. We have joining us right now the beat reporter for the St. Louis Blues for Fox Sports Midwest. Her name is Elizabeth Meineke, and welcome back to the show. Well, already one in the hole, Elizabeth. I don't know what to say. I think you get a chance or two at home still, so maybe you can get one.
Well, I'm glad you guys are in a generous mood today.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
hey Elizabeth.
That, right?
Yeah, no kidding. It's unbelievable. Elizabeth, we're sitting here, the superstar and I are sitting here at the office on Washington, just steps from Target Field. The Twins take on the Cleveland Indians tonight. We're outside at sunshine. It's 70 degrees. It's unbelievable. We don't get many days like that here. Remember when you scored those two goals last night? That was cute.
You know, the great thing was, it was for the Blues, it was a trend that they got better as the game, you know, in the third period. So I think that they're hoping to kind of take that momentum and bring it into the game Saturday. But who knows at this point, right? I do officially want to rename you guys the Minnesota Flash, though, because you're right about the speed. That was pretty impressive.
We're a fast squad, and we don't back away from the bullies. We just don't. We're tough little guys with just lightning fast skates. I don't know, but I mean, Dumba, though. You talk about a little guy that's got some clout. How about that shot that he put past Allen last night?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think speaking to Ken Hitchcock today, you know, he really said that this kind of came down to determination. And he felt that, you know, the Wild really brought far more determination, I think, to the table, especially in that second period. The Blues, I think overall they were fairly happy with their performance in the first. They had a lot of ozone time, but didn't get, you know, necessarily the penetration in the middle of the ice they wanted. And they felt like kind of let up on the gas in the second. And that's where, you know, obviously that power play goal happened. So it was, I think that the Blues are impressed and, you know, definitely plan on adjusting a couple things and making sure that they bring a more physical game on Saturday, because they're going to need that if they want to counteract the speed. That's sort of the narrative that we've been hearing now. So.
Yeah, we're talking to Elizabeth Meineke. She covers the Blues in St. Louis, and we're lucky to have her on our show every game day, or since the game's tomorrow, we're talking to her about last night's game and then previewing tomorrow's game. Last night reminded me, I have two younger brothers, and when they started to get faster than me, I was always stronger, but they started to get faster than me, and they started to beat me in races, and then I would tackle them and make sure that they couldn't beat me, because you don't let the younger brother beat
you.
Nothing
worse.
That's almost what it felt like last night in the third period with Backus, one of our own guys from Spring Lake Park, just up the road from us right now, Soup, against Mikael Granlund. Cross-checked him, and then Steve Ott, he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
my God.
He's the antagonist.
But that's what your Blues were doing. They were frustrated last night, and that's what the Wild are saying. We're just going to keep her cool. We're going to stay unemotional. You can hit us. You can do what you want to if you can catch us, but we're going to continue to play our game. We're going to control the puck, and we're not going to make stupid mistakes. And if I think the Minnesota Wild, who said that they didn't even play their best game last night, and I would think that you would agree that the St. Louis Blues didn't either. There was a lot of momentum going in for both teams, a lot of emotions running high. But for the Wild to stay cool, calm, and collected, play their game, not get into what the St. Louis Blues are trying to do, the Minnesota Wild are going to be a tough team to beat, that's for sure.
Well, and I think I can safely say that the St. Louis Blues agree. There really is. I know we've talked in the past about them having a healthy respect for the Wild, and that really is there. I think even, you know, Kevin Shattenkirk today was saying that, you know, if there was one thing that they kind of took away from it, is that, you know, they need to remind themselves that, you know, the Wild went further than they did in the postseason last year, and they can kind of draw on that experience too. You know, people talk about how the Blues have experience. You know, they've been in the postseason several years, kind of fallen up short, but, you know, eventually you hope that experience leads to, you know, a better result this year. And they say, you know, we need to remember that the Wild have also been in the postseason as well, and can kind of draw from that reservoir that both teams are deep. And I do agree that they think that they did not, you know, bring their best game. You know, personally, just having watched them this whole season, I can guarantee you that they did not bring their best game. But kudos to the Wild for being able to kind of throw them off that. And for, you know, and if the playoffs, as Ken Hitchcock said, it really does come down to this battle of the wills, you know, you need to be able to establish your game the way you want to play, the pace that you want to play at. The Wild certainly did that in game one. I will say, though, in Steve Ott's defense, you know, it's funny because I have, you know, covered teams that he has not been on, you know, when I was in D.C. covering the Capitol. So it's always interesting to see his persona, you know, when he's on a visiting team and you're watching him play. It's very different. I have to give him credit in the locker room, you know, at least with the media. He's one of the nicest guys. He's great in the interviews, always really generous with his time. So that's a little tidbit about Steve Ott. So next time you get really frustrated at him, you can think, okay, he's a good person, though. I have at least a good story to counteract, you know, however I feel about how he's playing on the ice. So I've got to give him credit for, you know, being really gracious and taking the time to talk to us. So.
I still hate him. I hate him with all of my being, and he hasn't really done much yet.
Maybe when he comes up to Minnesota, you can go in the locker room, get a chance to talk to him, and, you know, maybe put your differences aside.
We'll throw dead Blues players out on the ice when that happens. Talking to Elizabeth Meineke. And just watching your coach, St. Louis Blues, Ken Hitchcock, on the bench. Next time you talk to him, can you tell him I call him Jabba the Hutt?
I would still like to keep my credential, and he's really gracious to the media as well. He's always great in interviews, always, you know, is really willing to discuss what's going on. So I think I might let you deliver that message in person if you prefer.
And I will, because I don't really like him that much. He won a championship with the Stars after the North Stars left Bloomington, left here. He was the coach for the Stars when they won that championship, and that's another reason why I hate him.
You're making enemies all over the place here.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty passionate.
That's what we do. That's what we do. I, you know what? Here's the thing. I already know what the Blues are going to do. I think we all know what's going to happen here is they know that Backstrom is the backup goalie. It's going to be Steve Ott skating up into the net and just taking out Dubnyk somehow. And it's going to
all
be
hell will break
dirty,
loose if that happens.
Dirty pool on Dubnyk. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be the Steve Ott show tomorrow night.
Well, I sincerely hope that, you know, for hockey fans in general, hockey fans like to see a good game played. They like to see respect for the game. They like to see a good game played. So I hope it's a good game. I think it's definitely going to be more physical on the Blues end. I think they feel that their strength is a way to counteract the speed. But, you know, they don't need to necessarily... I don't think they need to do anything. This doesn't need to become Montreal versus Ottawa right now. I think that they can... I think that they have, you know, just the ability to control those puck battles better. You know, I saw several times that the Wild, I thought, were very good at keeping the Blues to the perimeter of the ice. And, you know, knowing that the Blues have strong bodies... it'll be interesting to see if they kind of use that to your advantage to kind of take over that center area of the ice that the Wild were so good at dominating last night.
Your prediction for tomorrow's 2 o'clock faceoff time on NBC in St. Louis?
Only that it's going to be fun. It's playoff hockey.
Very safe. Very safe we played. Would you like to take a shot at the score?
Oh, I think it'll be tight scoring. I don't think you'll see either team hit above 3 goals. So,
oh, nicely done. That was well done. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that it'll be close to 3 goals by the Wild and close to 2 goals by the Blues. So anyway, you're a lot of fun.
Really add up.
No kidding,
Elizabeth. You're a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week and
Monday.
Yeah, next week.
Monday is another game.
Mm-hmm. Monday.
Are you coming up for the games? Or are you staying in St. Louis?
No, I'll be staying in St. Louis, so okay. I'll be trash-talking long distance on Monday.
That's cool, because we'll be on location on Monday, just down the street from the XL Energy Center, so we'll be calling you from there. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, and I hope it's not too great of a weekend, and I don't wish you too much luck, okay?
Well, I appreciate your at least somewhat generosity there, so thank you, guys.
Very good. Very good. It's the Show Me State. I'm hoping that they can show more than they did that first game. Just so they can at least stay close to us. And Mike's break is up next. Look out. I think we're going to probably have to throw back to some Twins since we're down here. And we'll bring it back around full circle, Minnesota Twins talk, and kind of explain to everyone out there what this has been like to watch that team come around now, kind of full circle, to find out that they've actually got something in play. We'll find out against the Cleveland Indians tonight and through the weekend. Come on back. Radioactive Sports.
Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
Beep, 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 beep.
Well,
congratulations, Mike.
Different Mike. AC/DC, it's Mike's break, so I guess the music gets to play, and it's Back in Black. That's what we do. That's what we do. And, should let you know that the office is a pretty nice place to come and party a little bit. You
That's
can come on down here anytime on a Friday when the Twins are in town. Come down and join Radioactive Sports. We are doing it the right way. Trust me, the office, Washington Avenue. Get down here. Try it. The sliders are great. The salad's great. The beer certainly is great.
Burgers are great. Wings are
specials.
Great.
They got the $3 cold domestic taps. And the full menu before and after each broadcast here. So
happy hour most of the afternoon.
Absolutely. It's a great, great place.
As beautiful as the exterior and as the interior of the building is, the people are just as beautiful inside and out. Just a great place to be. And there is no better patio, in my opinion, in all of downtown Minneapolis to come hang out, have a stogie, have some drinks before, after Twins games. If you're just hanging out during the week, whatever.
It's fun.
You work downtown, you're heading downtown, come by the office. It's a great place.
Lots of fun.
To be.
I stopped down here for the brackets when the tournament was going on, and it was a great place. Very Festivus. Very Festivus inside for the rest of all of y'all. But this is a great place. Located in the hot Minneapolis North Loop neighborhood, the office, pub, and grill is open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So get on down here and party with us, won't you please?
And cheaper parking over here, too, by the way.
Yes.
Cheaper parking in this neighborhood. So park over here. It's just, honest to God, it's a block. You might have to cross one street. Yeah, you have to cross one street.
And the light rail track. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
But that's the street, too. It's the light
rail.
That's
part of the street.
Yeah.
And we're here because the Twins are playing the Cleveland Indians tonight. They came off a 2 out of 3 best of series against the Kansas City Royals. The Royals are a real team. They almost won the World Series last year, and we got drubbed that first time for the home opener last Monday, 12-3, and then, for whatever reason, the floodgates opened.
Switching up of the lineup, man. That's what it was. The first game...
It was the only change, I guess, but...
The first game was that Wednesday, the Timberwolves final game. You and I were at Hubert's. They switched Dozier to the cleanup spot. They put Torii Hunter batting second. I want to say Santana got on, Hunter might have walked, and then Torii Hunter hit in, or some... that's, boom, right at the first inning, the bottom of the first, they scored. And that jolted the offense, and then you and I were at the game yesterday, and they scored 8 runs. We left, it was 5-3. We got back to the radio station, and what the heck happened? Ending score was 8-5. Brian Dunsing blew up a little bit. He's on the DL now, by the way. Caleb Fielbart coming up to join the big club. But the offense is exploding. Tough pitchers, though, against the Cleveland Indians this weekend. Kluber was a Cy Young Award winner last year. Mm-hmm. Carrasco, is it Caracas or Carrasco? I can't remember.
Hit
in the face. And so Salazar is pitching tomorrow. He's a starter, and he throws over 100 miles an hour.
And I had Tommy Malone. Yesterday was really good for 5 1/3. He played, I think, very well. We had Vargas hitting a 2-run shot. We had Kurt Suzuki hitting a 2-run shot. We had, like you mentioned, Torii Hunter had 3 hits. And they were playing ball. 14 hits on the day, and where did that come from? We don't know, but Torii Hunter says, look, forget the first 6-7 games. That was not us. That's what he said.
Wow.
So you know what? They beat and sent the Kansas City Royals home. Let's see if they can get that done with Cleveland now in town.
You know something that we should talk about at some point, not today, because we have so many things to talk about. In fact, coming up, Arif Hassan talking about an article that I sent you. He is a writer for Vikings Territory and Vikings Journal about why the Vikings should not draft Trey Waynes. It'll be an interesting conversation coming up here. But at some point, we should talk about the phenomena that is Minnesota watching or listening. But I'm more of a watcher. Watching Twins games, either on our deck or in our garage in the summer. There is nothing better, maybe having a fire going, the ambiance, soaking up as much Minnesota sunshine or warmth as we possibly can.
It's a great deal.
I mean, teams, they don't do that in Atlanta. You kidding me?
They're
afraid of getting shot.
Well, yeah.
They don't do that in Dallas. They'll get shivved.
Well, that's true. You can get shivved real easy in Dallas.
But you don't get shivved here.
You wouldn't get shivved here. Nice. This isn't New Jersey.
No.
It's not New York. This is Minnesota, and you know, this deck is perfectly safe because I'm here. So come on down and drink with me for a while, and we'll just get smashed.
I don't know. I think that guy might be able to take you. And
right
look at
here,
he's giving
I'm,
you the eye, too.
Yeah, I know it. He's looking. He's
giving you the corner eye there.
I'm feeling uncomfortable, and I'm about ready to de-ass the area. But anyway, we're going to come back and talk with Arif Hassan.
Yeah.
He will be talking to us about why. And I really want to know why.
He wrote this article, Bleacher Report. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, we got to get this guy on. Superstar is going to... I'm thinking maybe not to draft Trey Waynes either. And I thought I was telling you that a little bit earlier this week. He would fit better in a zone coverage scheme. And that's not what the Minnesota Vikings play. It worries me a little bit. But Arif will tell us more about it.
Yeah, well, I want to hear what this is. And it had better be good. Come on back. It's Radioactive Sports.
Passionate sports talk.
Teddy Bridgewater. He throws it pretty deep.
No one better at throwing accurate football than Teddy Bridgewater.
I can tell you
No one more accurate.
What?
That's a bold
Aaron Rodgers?
I love that kid throwing a deep football.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Myself on being a technician, and that's something I've worked on every day in practice, and to me the most important thing is footwork and patience at the line of scrimmage. Just with repetition, I'll get better and better at it. And I was fortunate enough to play under Coach Barnett, Coach Narduzzi, and Coach Antonio, and the guys that I had in front of me to show me the ropes, like Darquez. They helped shape me into the player I am today.
My guy,
this is the worst song in the history of mankind.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we commissioned him to write this or not, but the purple punk, he messed that up. He definitely messed that up. He caught me saying that in the paper, too, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah.
That was Prince's Minnesota Vikings song, by the way, and that's supposed to get the guys riled up?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was supposed to do.
Makes me want to have a stroke.
It did not get anyone riled up. I was still playing at the time, and I remember not being riled by it. here's a guy that's got me riled up right here. I'm going to introduce him right now. It's Arif Hassan. He has a... He's a writer for the Vikings Territory and Vikings Journal, and he's here to tell me.
He also writes in Bleacher Report, and this is the this
and
is where
that's
I got
my source.
This.
Yeah. I love the source, Bleacher Report. That's my go-to. Trey Waynes, we shouldn't pick this kid up because he's what kind of player? Go ahead, that's your cue.
I mean, there's a lot of things to say about Trey Waynes. The first thing I want to kind of get out of the way, of course, is that he's a very talented player. He just doesn't fit what the Vikings do in their secondary.
Okay.
So that, I think, is sort of the biggest problem with, you know, you see all these mock drafts. You see that Trey Waynes is probably mocked more than any other player, including Devontae Parker, to the Minnesota Vikings. And I think there's a lot of issues in Trey Waynes' game that can be hidden by some schemes, but would be, put on notice, basically, in the Vikings' scheme.
I would say this. I mean, I'm just looking at this from a defensive coach's mind, and that being Mike Zimmer, Arif. And I think that what he inherited here with the Vikings was the kind of team that he can't become real diverse with what he tries to do with that defensive secondary, the back end of the defense, because he's the kind of coach that will only put these guys out there to play in the defense that they can play in. I think that with a guy like Trey Waynes, I think he diversifies right away and does some more aggressive types of things with his coverage, and that kid makes the difference. That's sort of the idea, but I think that Zimmer would be all over that, and I think he would readjust the defense quite a bit because of his presence.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, mostly because there's really only one or two things he can do. And like I said, he does them really well. He would do really well in a scheme like Seattle's and a scheme like Jacksonville, Pittsburgh scheme. Those are areas where I think he would do well. But the issue is that he has a lot of difficulty doing a couple of things. One of them is process route combinations. The reason Waynes has been good at Michigan State is that he can lead the receiver in front of him very well, but he can't lead the offense very well. And in Mike Zimmer's defense, the secondary needs to lead the offense well, because there's a lot of complex things that secondary does, including a technique called pattern matching, which requires a lot of recognition, a lot of film study, a lot of, an instant understanding of what you need to do based on what the offense does, not just the receiver in front of you. And then when you pair that with the fact that Trey Waynes has really poor agility on the field, and he tries to make up for it by being very grabby, there's actually not very many things you can do. It wouldn't really diversify the defense on his side of the field. It would actually make it one-dimensional on his side of the field, because the offense would know what Trey Waynes is good at, which is to cover vertical routes, occasionally cover corner routes, and what he's bad at, which includes things like zone defense, covering in-breaking routes, those sorts of things. And so on the outside, if you've got a player willing to cut in on a route, you know that the linebacker is going to drop underneath that player every single time. When you know what the defense is going to do, then the offense knows how to adjust for that, and it's going to cause some serious problems.
Well, I mean,
he's selling me on not taking Trey Waynes, man. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I just think he's a young player. I think that he's the kind of guy that has the type of tools that Zimmer would be looking for to develop and to hone into that kind of defensive player. I think that it takes time. It's not like he's going to come in and be a world beater or, you know, Deion Sanders right away. But I think he's the kind of kid that is. I've seen him play. I've seen him play at Michigan State and Denard. I mean, they both remind me an awful lot of each other. I think actually that Waynes is a little bit bigger than Darquise Denard, but. The only rap on him that I've heard is that he's not much of a hitter. I guess that was a rumor that came out last week. And I've seen him play in some pretty big games, and he came up and hit. But to me, he looks like the kind of kid you'd want to draft and work with and teach him your way. And he is raw, I think, very much so in so many ways. Defensive recognition and offensive recognition are two different things. And you were mentioning that. movement on an offense and just shift of an offense can throw a young defensive back off quite a bit. And they think that they see something, but you have to believe what you see as a pro. And that's from film work. And I think that he would be able to pick up on that kind of work in the film room.
Yeah, I think it makes sense that, you know, you get this ball of clay. You got a great defensive coach in Mike Zimmer to sort of train him up. But I think when you're talking about that sort of development, I think then you're talking about someone you don't want to pick necessarily at 11. I mean, there's a lot of cornerbacks like that. There's a lot of cornerbacks that have a lot of physical tools, that have a lot of great instincts, that read the opposing receiver very well, but maybe not offenses very well. I mean, Jaylen Collins, for example, is an even better physical specimen. He's very raw. He's got a lot of technique work he needs to pick up on. He needs to read offenses a little bit better. But he's more agile. He can stay with receivers a little bit better. And he's got a lot of speed. And there's a couple of those. I mean, you've got Byron Jones, who's very instinctive. You've got P.J. Williams and Ronald Darby at Florida State, who are both very physical receivers, but probably better hitters despite being also kind of lightweight. And when you mention Trey Waynes as hitting, I think that there's two things. I think the first is that he's a very willing hitter. He loves to get involved in the run game. He can get off of receiver blocks decently well. But he doesn't hit very well, in part because he's 186 pounds, pretty light for a cornerback, and he doesn't have very good technique, which, as you know, can be coached up, but is already another problem coming out of the box, and there's a reason you'd want to draft him maybe in the second round instead of the first round. In fact, I think Pro Football Focus says that Trey Waynes has more missed tackles than any other cornerback being considered sort of in the top three rounds. And so there's a lot of warning flags that I say wouldn't make him a bad cornerback to add to your roster, but it would make him not a great one to add to this roster at number 11. If you picked him up in the second round, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with that, but there's just a lot of other cornerbacks that have a lot of physical talent, that have a lot of instinct, that also need to be coached up, and to me, Trey Waynes also needs to be coached up.
Quite the interesting conversation. We've been talking to Arif Hassan, a writer for Vikings Territory and Vikings Journal. You'll see him on Bleacher Report every once in a while, too, one of our favorite websites. The article that we've been discussing, why the Minnesota Vikings should not draft Trey Waynes, a favorite of the superstar Mike Morris in mine, leading up here to the NFL draft, which is just under 2 weeks away. To me, my armor is beginning to fade just here a little bit. I'm thinking I don't really like anybody that's probably going to be there to see who can fall out of the top 10, but I don't know. I'm thinking the Minnesota Vikings should do what they always do, trade back, get more picks, and you know, get more players in the mid rounds or whatever happens. But unbelievable. Thank you, Arif Hassan. Thanks for joining the show today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
He's the kind of guy that's not going to go to 11. He's going to go to like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of guys who have weighed into this guy. Some really good scouts and some really good people. And I saw him at Combine. That means the very least to me, the Combine. But I've seen him play as well. I like what I see.
I trust you with my life, especially when it comes to football.
He makes it sound like he's very one-dimensional. There are other cornerbacks out there that are probably as talented as Trey Waynes. They all come with issues. I mean, he's the only clean one there is, character-wise, that you can say, okay, 11, and safe money.
And if there's anybody that can coach up a cornerback, it's Mike Zimmer.
I have all the faith in the world that this kid would come in here with the right attitude and learn and come up and be a great player and a great pro. But, you know, I mean, and I appreciate the comments by Arif Hassan.
Play devil's advocate, and I just wanted
fine.
Maybe.
No, that's good. I'll take that. I mean, it's good to be diverse to be able to break into some of these kids. They don't get to become instant millionaires and starters in this league without some discussion, and that's what it takes. That's what sports radio is all about. Next, though, we have the sillier side of sports.
Oh, boy.
We don't have to get serious anymore. I mean, we could invite Hassan back, and he could just hang out with us and talk about the crazy stuff,
sure,
too. I mean, maybe we should call him back. But anyway, he was very serious-minded, wasn't he? And then we can go into a true superstar, and we'll finish the show and let you guys continue to party and get into your weekend right after the break.
Do you live for hunting and fishing? Tune in to Ticket Outdoors with Brian Zepp.
Jerry Yellen, a World War II fighter pilot, served our country most honorably as a captain.
We were constantly reminded of us commitment to the other people. We were a nation of people of you, commitment to the other people. That's what you learn in the military. We learn to kill, but you learn that your life isn't worth anything without the life of the guys around you or the girls around you.
Ticket Outdoors, presented by Dan's Southside Marine. 2 hours every Wednesday at 7 on 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Time of the day. We wrap things up on Radioactive Sports.
First time down here at the office, Washington
Avenue. It's gone really well.
Great place.
It's gone really well.
Great place. We're going to have fun down here.
I love it here.
Count on that.
Are those regular fries or sweet potato fries? Are those regular fries or sweet potato fries?
You know you can share them.
Yeah. What about, well, then bring them over here. Yeah, I had...
I'm kidding.
I had steak sliders today. Unbelievable.
They look good. I walked in.
Chicken wings.
You were bellied up to the bar as usual.
That's what I do.
And you were slarfing down sliders.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
I ran and grabbed myself a chair and pulled it up right next to you. Had a couple 13, 14 shots. And I came out here and did a really good show.
Yeah.
I feel no pain.
Yeah.
This is a great place. Beautiful patio. Just redid it. Beautiful floor, the tables, the chairs, the great heating for any time of year. You could probably sit out here with heating like that in the middle of the winter, I'm guessing.
But, I think they do. It's a covered patio,
yeah, so
you're out of the elements. But you a beautiful shot of downtown Minneapolis. It is just gorgeous.
Great people.
About a block away from Target Field.
Great service, great food, great radio. And you know what? The people have been having fun down here just sitting and enjoying some drinks and listening to us go on and on and on about the local sports. And now... we got some of the sillier stuff.
Sillier side of sports. Somebody just scored a goal. There's hockey going on the TV. Who scored? The Canadians were scored on?
I wish I could tell you.
The Habs.
They have 18 HD TVs, and we got two of them out here, and I don't know. I still don't know who did it.
Ottawa. Ottawa scored on the Habs.
They're scrumming down. They're kind of roughnecks. I mean, they're kind of beating each other up a little bit. That's kind of
Canadians.
That's a physical thing.
Canadian on Canadian abuse. Sillier side of sports, though. Sam back at the station doing a heck of a job today. Thank you very much,
yeah.
Ben, to answering the phones,
Sam.
And Twittering and
thank
all that stuff.
Thank you, Sam.
We're about to play a little bit of audio, just so you know. You know that's coming up. The piling on of Britt McHenry has started. You know her?
Do I ever? I saw the video, too.
Okay, well, we're going to play a little bit of the audio with someone else claiming that McHenry now not so nice. McHenry, of course, suspended. She works for ESPN for her tirade against an employee of a company that was responsible for her car being towed. So go ahead and play that audio if you can, please, Sam.
I'm in the news, sweetheart. That's a little do this thing.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll play your video, so careful.
That's why I have a degree in working for somebody like this. It makes my skin crawl even being here.
Well, let's get you out of your career.
Yep, that's all you care about is just taking people's money.
Yeah.
With no education.
Yeah.
No skill set.
Yeah.
Just want to clarify that. Do you feel good about your job? So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing? Why I could have a brain and you don't?
Looks like
it. Maybe if I was missing some people would hire me, huh?
Yeah, but you had to touch your root a little bit.
Oh, like yours? Yeah. They look so stunning. Because
yeah.
I'm on television and you're on a trailer, honey. Lose some weight, baby girl.
Lose some weight. I mean, missing
yep.
teeth, would drop out of college, blah, 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 whatever she said. I am surprised that tow truck driver did not kick her in the mouth. I would have.
Well,
what
this is down there. She's trying to get her car out of Hawk,
okay.
right?
Okay, yeah.
So she's down at the garage trying to... It's already been towed down there, so she's going to go down and pay the bill, right, and pick up her car or truck or whatever she was driving. But I got news for her. That little college degree that she earned and had a nice position, you know, standing in for ESPN for a while... she might have to go back to school, or she'll have a job like that.
Well, here's the
thing. She's going to be out there for a while, I think.
Here's the thing. That happened a little bit earlier this week. That came out a little bit earlier this week. Now, there's a woman who we'll call Cupcake, because that's her Twitter handle.
Okay.
Is claiming that this isn't the first time that McHenry has berated someone. She has proof. It started over a tweet about the sexualization of women. This Cupcake woman said, "I wish there were more women in sports broadcasting that aren't completely sexualized." She went on to say, "I have nothing against beautiful women. being in sports media. I just wish they were presented as professionals and not models. At that point, McHenry pops on Twitter saying she went to Northwestern and played competitive sports, and there's nothing wrong with women looking nice and being intelligent. Cupcake agreed. McHenry said she modeled and graduated with a master's degree in 3 years, adding that Cupcake is some kind of random person because McHenry is famous. McHenry went on to tweet that Cupcake is bitter, alluding to the fact that if she worked as hard as McHenry, maybe everything would work out for herself. This Cupcake woman, this is her Twitter name, I don't know what her real name is.
Sure.
Didn't start or say anything bad about McHenry or anything. Well, who is this McHenry chick? And why is she so angry at the world? Who does she think she is?
That's just it. She thinks she's all that. I mean, this is obvious. I mean, you can hear her voice and the things that she comes up with are only spoken by a person who isn't thinking at all before they say something. She thinks that she's better than other people.
She
That's all
she
there is to
cachet.
It.
As she doesn't she?
She does think that. She thinks that she has cachet. That word, it just does something to me. But I'm telling you right now, she just, honestly, you don't run into too many people like this. But she thinks, literally, that she's better than you are. And that's why she spoke with that woman that night. And that's who she is. You can tell that she's good for it all the time. I mean, that came pretty naturally for her.
It's not that hard to be nice to people.
No, it's not.
To smile and say hi. And, I mean, granted, you're having a bad day. People have bad days. We all have bad days. We're all humans.
Absolutely.
Every once in a while, we get our cars towed or get a ticket or something like that. But guess what? Just because you're on ESPN or just because you're a cutesy-tootsy master's degree or blonde or whatever you are.
Northwestern. Oh, okay.
Whatever you are, you're no better than the next person next to you, and you don't need to treat them poorly.
If you're so doggone smart, why don't you park your car where you're supposed to?
Yeah.
And it won't be towed.
Now, an obesity group wants a public apology from Britt McHenry to the tow truck attendant. And rightfully so.
And she should have to go back and every bit of that. And I think she should sit out for a while, too.
Yeah.
I hope they sit her down.
She's suspended.
I mean, I hope she doesn't get back in.
Yeah, me too.
She does not deserve to get back in.
Me too. I hate her. I wish we had a winning basketball team here because I love Chick-fil-A.
Well, I mean.
Do you have Chick-fil-A? Down in 494 in Penn. I know there's a bunch,
there's one down in Apple Valley, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hawks fans, Atlanta Hawks fans in the Atlanta area can eat good today, and all it takes is some team gear of apparel, according to Chick-fil-A. It expires in just a couple of minutes there on the East Coast. If you have an Atlanta Hawks gear on, head to any Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, and you can get free McNuggets.
Probably not
called McNuggets.
Well, if it's free, it's me, and I'll have three.
Get 8 free nuggets tonight from 5 to 8. That is if you have time. What?
They thought I was funny.
I think I'm in love with her.
I'll tell her.
Why was she laughing and pointing at me, though?
She's laughing at me.
What did she point at me, then?
I would ask her.
Okay.
Enjoy your Coors Light.
Yeah, I'm drinking my Coors
Light. Now, would you finish your little Chick-fil-A story, or what?
It's done.
You never got through it, did you?
No, eight free McNuggets nuggets.
But
they have Atlanta Hawks gear on. That's why I'm saying I wish we had a good basketball team because maybe they would.
I mean,
show us some love up here.
Atlanta, are they good?
Atlanta, the best team in the East, best record in the East.
Okay, well, we'll see where they finish. it's just amazing. If you want chicken McNuggets, if you want some Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just pull that big fat wallet out of your pocket and go down there and buy some?
Because you take all my money betting on the hockey games.
You're like McHenry. Why don't you bet better? Or why don't you just not bet?
Because I want the Wild to win. And when I say that they're going to lose...
You anoint them with a win.
Every time I say or bet you $5 that the Wild are going to lose, they win. And so I feel like I can't stop it because
investment.
I need them to win. So the Wild, again tomorrow, wink, wink, they're going to lose, wink, wink. I don't really think that way. I think they're probably going to win. You think they're going to win?
I don't. I think they lose.
Okay. Well, then I think they win.
$5. Put your money where your mouth is. I mean,
here's the deal, though.
I did this last year. I told you exactly how I felt. Now St. Louis is up against the Heat. Now they are at home, and they are a good team. They got some pride, too. They're going to come out, and like you said, they're probably going to give it a little hell. Mm. So people are going to be checked into the boards tomorrow night.
But I feel like me saying that I think the Wild are going to win, and I really, honest to God, do.
And I really think they're going to lose. And I don't want them to. I seriously don't want them to. I've loved watching this run.
If you want them to win... You should say that you think they're going to win. and that I think that they're going to lose because that's the winning combination of our bets. If you're superstitious, that's the way it works out.
Well, yeah, that hasn't been the case.
So you're the reason that the Wild will lose tomorrow, by the way. I just want everybody to know that. 2 o'clock face-off NBC. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think they're going to win the series.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to win tomorrow. I don't think they're going to win tomorrow night. Okay. I just think that they're going to be a... St. Louis is going to put up a hell of a fight. I just think they're going to put up a hell of a fight. It's going to go seven, and I think they get one tomorrow night.
So thankful to the office on Washington, Office Pub and Grill. Fantastic. We've been tweeting out stuff all day. And join us every Friday. Twins home game will be here from 4 to 7. Unbelievable food, great drink specials, awesome patio, heated patio, covered patio. Sun, rain, shine, whatever. Come hang out with us. We'd love to see you at the office. I think it'll not next Friday, the Friday after. And then we'll be down in St. Paul for the Wild game on Monday.
And
Wednesday.
And Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Down to Tom Reed's. Okay. I've got a true superstar to finish out the week, okay? Navy Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technician First Class Sean P. Carson, 32 years of age from Des Moines, Washington, assigned to an Explosive Ordnance Disposal Mobile Unit in San Diego, died August 16 in a Black Hawk helicopter crash northeast of Kandahar, Afghanistan. He was just 32 years of age. Please, please, please remember Navy Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technician First Class, Sean P. Carson, my true superstar. Keep him in your hearts and prayers.
Your all-day sports talk leader, 105 The Ticket.